Here in Ezra 4, we've got the account of how the work of rebuilding the temple ceased, says verse 24, until the second year of the reign of Darius. Well, there's more to that than meets the eye. As you read Ezra 4, and if you don't take any other scriptures into account, it sounds like, yeah, the Jews went back, started to rebuild, but the local people didn't like it, so they made a false report back to Persia, and the king sent a decree saying that they'd got to cease. But there's more to it, a lot more to it. For one thing, in Ezra 5, you read that, well, Haggai started prophesying, and they resumed. They kept going. Then Ezra 5 verse 16 says that Sheshbazzar, who I suggest is another name for Zerubbabel, came and laid the foundations of God's house. Well, that was Zerubbabel who did that in Ezra 3, so I think Sheshbazzar and Zerubbabel are the same person. It says he laid the foundations of God's house in Jerusalem, and since that time until now, it's been in building but isn't completed. So quite clearly, just like Peter taking no notice of the command not to preach, so the faithful did in fact continue rebuilding the temple. But Haggai, in chapter 5, verse 1 of Ezra, the next chapter, he comes along and gives a message, which of course you can read in the prophecy of Haggai. And he tells them, look, you people returned from captivity because you hoped that you would get good harvests and that you could carve out for yourselves a bit of land, free land, good harvests, and make yourself a nice life. In other words, they returned not because they were motivated by a desire to serve God, to restore his kingdom, although that was externally what they were doing, but actually their motives were to actually build up their own little kingdom. And straight away you pause and you take a message from that we can do the same. You can actually go to church and be culturally Christian and attend meetings when actually you have your own agenda for doing that. You may be going to church because you hope to meet a partner there. You may be going to church because you simply like showing off your singing or whatever it might be. And you may be generous because you like the sort of accolades from other people that you are a generous person or whatever it might be. What I'm saying is that all service of God can either be done from totally pure motives or from actually our own agenda, that actually we're reinforcing our own agendas, our own narrative, our own personality type by the sort of things that we are doing. And this is where you need to examine yourself. And you may say, but how can I? How do I know my motives? Well, there's a lovely verse in the New Testament where Paul talks about the conscience being cleansed in Christ. And I think what that means is that you can ask him into your life, admitting that we cannot examine ourselves ultimately, accurately, and ask him to do this and to cleanse our conscience. And in fact, David says this in the Psalms when he says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He recognizes, like I think we all have to, that our self-examination cannot be totally accurate. That's why Paul says, I know nothing against myself, that is in his own conscience, 1 Corinthians 4, but I am not thereby justified, because there's only one judge, and that is the Lord. And not, in other words, it's not my conscience that will jump out of me and judge me at the last day, but as Jesus said, there is one thing that will judge you at the last day, and that is the word that I have spoken. So, their motives weren't pure, and Haggai complains that the house of God lies waste because, not because of this decree to cease building, but because you live in your sealed houses, he calls them, your houses that have got fancy ceilings, which were all the rage apparently at the time. You've built up your houses, but not God's. And so God responded to that by actually allowing the decree to go forth, which actually forbade the building of the house. You're doing this from the wrong motives, you haven't really got your heart in it, you're more interested in building up your own house, Okay, I will arrange that a decree is made to stop you. So God confirms people in the way in which they wish to go. You don't really want to do God's work, okay, he'll stop you doing it. And positively, you really want to do God's work with all your heart, he will confirm you in that, believe me, he really will. He will provide the resources, but it all comes down to whether this is the driving passion of your life. And if we likewise wish to go the way of materialism, God will confirm us in that way. Now, God is an encourager, but he is not a manipulator. Man is not a puppet that is pulled by strings that reach all the way up to heaven. This is not the idea. God has given us free will, and he respects that free will to a quite remarkable extent. And yet, on the other hand, because things are not of works lest any man should boast, and because we are so weak, he is there to confirm us, eagerly confirm us, in the way in which we seek to go. But that works both positively and negatively. It's an absolutely primitive idea that sort of God is there giving all the positive encouragement against the devil and his spirits and that are running around trying to fight against God, and this sort of squabbling with each other on the battlefield is our minds. This is simply not the case. There is, as King Saul experienced, an evil spirit from the Lord. There is confirmation in the downward spiral from God, as there is confirmation by the Holy Spirit, his work in our hearts to confirm us in the upward spiral. And here I think you have an example. They didn't want to do God's work in the temple. So, okay, he stopped them. But then, that's what we're reading here, but then in chapter 5 you're going to read that actually Haggai and Zechariah prophesy and the work resumes. And in fact, another decree is given that allows them to resume working. And I think that that was a result of the people hearing Haggai's prophecy and actually repenting and saying, yes, you have a point. We do love our own houses more than God's house, and we're not going to do that. Once that was their attitude, sure. Then a decree came from Persia that said, yep, they can. It's been re-examined. They can carry on doing it, and we will provide the resources for them to do so. So sometimes you think that people are so lost in their materialism that actually you'll never get them out of it. When you overhear conversations that people have, sometimes you think, ugh, they are just so absolutely, totally lost in their materialism and in all the stuff about their house and the latest decorations or latest furniture or whatever, whether they're rich or poor, but doesn't matter. Point is, they appear to be hopelessly in the grip of materialism. Well, that's how it probably appeared at the time of Ezra and Haggai. But the great thing is that people changed. And people can change. You can change. People around you can change. Because Haggai gave his prophecy, and the fact that this decree we just read about in Ezra 4 was then lifted and reversed when Haggai made his prophecy and started criticizing the Jews and said, come on, you're worried about your own houses and God's house lies in ruins. Well, they responded, or somebody responded, enough for God to say, okay, fine, so I will now give you the green light and I will give you all the resources you need to rebuild the temple once again. So you can change. Other people can change. Don't lose hope, because people do change, and the Bible has got many examples like this of people who did rethink or repent and turn around. And there's people, I'm sure, in your church experience who've done the same. And we can all do it, and so can other people.